everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dicey Duo with
Kai
and with Rain. So today we just came back from our D&D Saturday D&D
campaign.
Yeah. Wherever you are watching, it is Saturday
for us.
Yeah, we played as Lyris Lightfoot and
Griffo.
Just Griffo, the just one and only
Griffo, one name.
And we had a pretty good. What do you say? Was it like 4 hours? Pretty good. Four hours.
It wasn't a bad session.
No, it wasn't.
Mine was a bit weird towards the end. But we made progress.
Yep.
I think we're gearing up towards the end. I was really thrown off about the door. Because by all intents and purposes,
I know,
we
like,
should.
And our DM was very, very...
Well, I don't know if how...
Explicit about...
I don't know
okay,
if he was.
Well, the door is locked. It's an arcane lock. Oh, okay, well, it's still locked. Okay, you open the door and it has a barrier. Oh, you open the barrier, it's rubble.
Factually, it was like, okay, drop it. But maybe it's just the guy in general or the way he roleplays. But it wasn't as obvious where he was like, there's a lock and it's arcane locked and it's barred.
Yeah.
Probably go somewhere else. He didn't say any of that, or he didn't even like.
Yeah.
It felt confusing. And the fact that he let us argue about it for so long then confused me more.
I think he
but
just
like,
liked
my argument
us
my argument.
Having just a role-playing option time. Essentially, that's what it is. Because, you know, that was one thing when we ended the Storm Giant campaign. Our kind of, like, reflection, because he asked us, was... What would you like more of? And we all said role playing. So I think it's just him, you know, allowing us to have those role playing times.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Very fair. But yeah, how is your Saturday going? Other than those 4 hours we literally spent together?
What did I do this morning? Not much. I fought a boss in a video game.
Nice.
He is currently the hardest thing I have fought.
Mm-hmm.
It is a Souls-like, for those of you who are aware, which means it's a very punishing game. Not even necessarily hard. It's just very punishing. If you mess up, you're dead.
Oof.
So it's fun for me because I just get better
and
over
better
time.
Every time. Yeah.
So it's very satisfying to fail, succeed.
That's good.
And I'm a better gamer for it. But no, it's been a chill. I mean, you've been with me we've been together for the majority of today.
Yeah, since 11.
Week was dramatic.
Really?
Just kind of like... So...
Saw each other Wednesday. It was dramatic from then until... That's only 3 days.
Yeah, I think it was, like, Thursday,
the
day after. I just had an interesting conversation with my sister. It didn't, like, go super well, but we were all copacetic by the end of it, or after the fact. And then my family flew in, so I currently have my uncle and my cousin, and then two more cousins and my aunt are coming, like, in a week. So it's going to be, like, the whole... dad's side of the family for
you guys get together
weeks.
For reunions or something?
Last time we were together was last year for my grandmother's 80th birthday. And so I feel like I've seen him recently. And then even the middle cousin, they're all big surfers, so they need to come here to Hawaii.
So they're just like surfing.
Yeah, exactly. So my middle cousin came and stayed like by himself for like a month or two.
Having a grand old
And he wants to do that again this time. I think he's going to stay longer than everyone else, which is funny. To just surf and be a beach bum.
And be, look at me, and try
do
to
his
be
thing.
Kelly Slater.
But yeah, just like people giving me advice that I've heard a billion times gets really frustrating. And when it comes from your family, the frustration comes up really fast. And me being a Taurus.
Hard-headed, strong.
Yeah, exactly. So strong-headed. My family pushes my buttons. My fuse with them is very lit low. So it's just quick to hyper feelings, tension. So they're just trying to help. And things have been up and down for me lately, so they just want to make sure I'm okay and everything. So it's sweet. They just go about it in a way that's very like
kind of weird way.
Just feels very ignorant because they like are telling me how I'm feeling. They're like, "You're this and you're that," and I'm like,
"No, I'm
not around every day, so you don't know. You see me when I present myself."
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean
I'm sorry that the last two times I've presented myself, I haven't been feeling great. But no, I mean, yeah, family drama. It's not like crazy, you know, it's not nothing crazy. Everything's fine. The one piece of tea is I think I saw someone who should be a close family member get married, and I was fully unaware of it. So I think they're married now.
Oh my goodness.
I saw it through an Instagram post.
Oh, none of the family were invited? Unless it was like a private thing.
But it was like, congratulations. So I was like,
for your prom?
I don't know. I got to double check, honestly. So, but that's me. It's been chill. Besides that. You?
Sick for 2 days.
Right.
We
were going to shoot.
We were supposed to record on Thursday, but...
when all my drama happened.
That would have been a spicy episode. Yeah, you canceled. I was like, well,
there goes my distraction for the day. No, you're fine.
Sorry. No, I have... I sometimes, like, you know, a couple times a month, I get, like, these fevers. I have
a couple times a month?
Yeah. Like, once or twice a month, I get these, like, really kind of, like, I wouldn't say severe, but they're kind of, you know, hefty fever, sickness. I have an autoimmune disease
called Graves' disease.
So my immune system is already at a low point. If there's any type of like germ or anything, my immune system is just going to attack it fully, saying there's an infection in here somewhere.
And it diverts all that energy.
And it diverts all of that energy. Gotcha. And I'm like, I went to work on Wednesday, on Thursday, and I was like, I'm not feeling well. Like on the whole ride to work, I was low AC in my uniform, but I was like low AC on blast, but I was sweating, chilling, and I was like, this is not a good sign. And then when I was sitting in my office chair, I was like, I really should go home.
Okay, gotcha.
And so I went home. I went into my bedroom. I laid down and I was hot and I was like had the chills and I was like, this is fucking crazy. And
yeah, body's fighting something.
Yeah, and so then I just took the last 2 days and I'm good better now.
Yeah, you look better. You look like I saw you on Wednesday.
Wait, thank you. But yeah, that's me.
Wonderful.
Once we see each other.
Well, it's my turn, and we're going to get right into it.
Hell
for
yeah.
Today's episode of the Dicey Duo. We're going to be introducing a regular segment on the Dicey Duo podcast, better known as Roll for Encounter. And so we have...
Compiled a list
of some topics, some things, different ideas. And we're going to roll for it as we do in D&D.
Hell yeah, everything in life
has some chance to it.
My really nice dice set for this too.
So we have a list. We are going to roll a D20. We don't have 20 ideas quite yet. So we have each picked something that if we roll above a certain number, we will default to. So yeah. One of these for each of us is currently a much higher chance to get. But we will see. And today's episode is going to be rain rolling. So,
all right,
let's get into it.
Let's roll. 18.
All right. So looks like she gets to do exactly what she wants.
Yeah, I want to do the...
So please introduce our new encounter.
Yeah, it's called Character Corner.
We're really cheesy over here at the Dicey Duo, as you can tell.
Yeah, like I wanted Character Corner because during our session today, one of our players, Maya, she's a wizard, and she was just telling, like, you know, she's just going about the whole, like, you know, new mechanics of Fireball and how you can just, like, lob them.
Like, yes, there was a discussion about...
Yeah, like, there was a lengthy discussion,
whether
too.
You need to see where you're putting it. And according to the wording...
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah, so...
So she lobbed it over a 25-foot wall.
A wall to get, you know, and, like, landed right on top of, like,
on top of a tree, which was a dryad.
Dryad, yeah.
And it worked, but we sat for...
A good
more
long time trying to figure
debating.
It out.
Yeah.
So while that was happening, I was like, in my head, I was like, ideas. Oh my God, I could be a Super Saiyan.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you
no,
know,
totally.
Like with Fireball, you're generating a literal fireball.
No, for sure.
Right.
Sure,
and so
for sure.
The first thing that went to my head is like, if I don't necessarily need to see and pick a point, then I can literally go kamehameha,
right? Just blast your beam.
Yeah, just blast my beam.
Very and sick.
Yeah, so how is that?
But you would like flavor it through a wizard or
flavor
through the magic?
Flavor it through the magic, not necessarily gotcha. Through the wizard. And I was like, how do you go about this, right?
Well,
so Let's do it. Let's flip through the player's handbook.
Sure. Well, let me give you this idea. In previous, well, I guess current, there is a subclass of monk called the Sun Soul.
Yeah, so that was...
And that's pretty much as close to a Dragon Ball...
That's what I was thinking,
Super
because,
Saiyan,
like...
Specifically,
a monkey,
if we're going for that.
A monkey. A monk is essentially, like, you know, throwing punches here and there.
Yeah,
you know,
they are
very
the
dexterous,
physical part of
very,
Dragon Ball.
Yeah, they're very
example.
Physical Dragon Ball.
And they do have a... Their Sun Soul does give them beam abilities and light abilities. But you could totally... do you know what I would imagine it? You would be more like a sorcerer because sorcerers gain their
like,
fireball
let's
magic.
Be a like a beefy sorcerer, you know? Because
beefy in what way?
Because like when I think of Super Saiyan, I think of like
buff. You like think of Dragon Ball because that's where
I
they come from.
I think of Dragon Ball like a buff, maybe sorcerer or like a monk because you know monks already have that capacity.
Sure.
Right.
So yeah. Oh, actually, here let me ask you this: what? I ask this to my new players and stuff like that. What aesthetic, what power, that's the question I'm asking.
Mm-hmm.
What power fantasy are we trying to hit?
As far as, like,
for
this
character? Yeah, because you saw a fireball go off and then had an idea about
Dragon Ball.
A big Beefy. Nova bomb from, you know, like a Broly green blast, of a fireball and you know, doing it that way, which sounds freaking dope. Actually is the main way that I like to make characters. I think of a cool thing.
And then you just have to go through the mechanics of
that.
like how do we do this? So
and
let me
I
get
love
to
also
the, so I'm in the sorcerer, you know, category right now. And let me see.
Well, cantrips, very easily you have the divine soul.
Yeah.
Which is like radiant, but it's also very like healer cleric type.
Healer guy.
But you could be a very bright Super Saiyan being a sorcerer.
So let's see.
Like Draconic Soul, maybe.
The Draconic Sorcery.
Yeah, like gold or.
Which makes sense because what creature is, you know. Is there a literal god? Yeah, gotcha. Shenron.
Yeah.
It's a dragon.
Sure. He's a wish dragon.
Yeah. So it's like, ooh, I could do draconic sorcery and have draconic resilience, and we can say, right, that Shenron has blessed me. You know what I mean?
Shenron. Yeah. Did you wish for your powers?
Well, you see, I got all, what is it, seven? Seven, right? Is it seven Dragon Balls? Eight Dragon Balls.
Correct.
Seven, right? I got all seven Dragon Balls.
Yeah, the seven.
Right?
Really,
Krillin being the eighth.
Krillin? he only has six dots.
I know, but
okay,
he's bald. That's all I'm saying.
He is the eighth Dragon Ball. It's within his little dome.
Yeah.
That's what they're leading Krillin up to.
I wished to be a Super Saiyan.
Specifically a Super Saiyan?
Specifically.
You like Zamasu.
Yeah. You know, and then you have elemental affinity, and you can have acid, cold,
fire. Well, it's based on the dragon. It's based off the dragon.
I know, so probably, fire.
If you were gold, lightning. You'd probably be fire.
Yeah, so I think what would work in there, right, would
flavor
be...
Flavor text all your spells.
Flavor text, right? That's fire or lightning would be pretty fucking, like, close to...
Lightning, they do have lightning abilities in Dragon Ball.
They do, that's what I'm saying, like, fire and lightning would be...
Zamasu.
The closest to... A D&D-esque Dragon Ball Z Super Saiyan character.
I mean, if you were especially into specifically the beams of it.
Dragon wings, because Super Saiyans can fly. Totally.
Yeah. Yep. Very true.
Yeah, so, I mean, Sorcerer.
Okay, cool. Interesting. So, funny enough, my second character.
Mm-hmm.
No, sorry.
Well, I can still fly, actually.
My third character was... We talked about this. I talked about my decapitating tiefling, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Was that in the intro? Was that on the first episode?
That was on our initial episode.
Yeah. Okay, so that... Anyway. Funny enough, I went back to that group.
Mm-hmm.
I had another opportunity to play with those same people again. The dude who had decapitated me was not the DM anymore. He mm-hmm. was going to be a player, and someone else was going to be the DM. That dude, by the way... played a dick character.
It sucked.
He was really annoying. But I made a draconic bloodline sorcerer named Arcanus. Mm-hmm. And he was a half-elf.
Mm-hmm.
Bastard. noble. And one of the other... The DM's wife was my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that campaign didn't go very far either.
Oh, no.
But I like Draconic Bloodline. I think I've always wanted to.
Yeah.
I love. So, big funny fact about Kai. I love dragons. Charizard's my favorite Pokemon. Dragons are my favorite thing in D&D.
Let's go to.
And I freaking love them.
Let's go to race. Let's see. Let's build my. So, we already. Draconic Sorcery.
Well, let's talk about
bloodline
how sorcery. They got their powers.
Okay. So, I was thinking, okay, right. Down on my luck.
Okay.
All right. And, you know, praying to somebody somewhere out there, a bigger force... Bigger than me.
Bahamut, the platinum dragon.
Right.
Sure.
You know.
The good dragon.
I am a scholar, but I know that I'm destined for something greater.
For more.
And I find myself just walking into the woods, crying, trying to figure out where this higher power or this greater...
How old are you?
Cool. I'm thinking like late 20s, like early 30s.
Interesting.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And already like still lost, you know, had been through all the, you know, schools and then all the stuff, you know.
And
a sorcerer and couldn't do it.
Right. Because you can't control your powers.
Because I can't control my powers and I couldn't do it. And I'm praying to this being, this whomever is out there, and I just say, please find me. I am lost. And this big winged dragon, I don't know, comes in and swoops down.
Me
away. Princess carries
swoops
me.
Swoops me. Takes you to a nearby
and
peak.
On the forehead.
And as you open your eyes, there is an old man with a white beard and a very classic green brimmed wizard hat. And he says, "Hello there. What is your name?"
Alisteria.
That's really dope. He says, "That's a dope name." "My name is Fizzman. And you seem to have some interesting blood within you." "I can smell it."
"I don't know what that means, but okay."
"It's just something I am keenly aware of. Are you all right? You seem to be crying in the forest."
"I'm lost. Not in a physical way, but in a spiritual way. I don't know where I'm supposed to do, or where I'm supposed to go, or what I'm supposed to do."
"I know this feeling well. We all reach a point in our lives where we'll feel lost, uncertain. What are you uncertain about?"
"My potential. I can't grasp my powers, and I can't find my way in society. There is nothing for me here."
Interesting. Well, that is a perspective. But have you embraced yourself? Have accepted yourself?"
"I've accepted that I may never be a part of something greater. And if I am, it is not in this form."
Narrow-minded. "That is all right. None have the experience like me, but let me give you a piece of advice, girl."
"I'm listening, old creature."
"Do what you're good at. Figure it out what you benefit from in this life and how you can best utilize your talents. Seems like you could probably go to a magic school, learn a little bit more about..."
"I've done all the schooling. All the magic schooling."
Where's your magical focus? Where's your arcane focus? Did you leave it at home today?"
"Probably."
Interesting. So first step towards better sorcery, don't forget your arcane focus.
All right.
"But I'm sure you'll do fine. Just believe in yourself. You are blessed, my child." And then it'll turn into a large platinum winged dragon before your eyes and fly away with a wink. Okay, cool. Did you remember that name?
"My name."
"Yeah, your name."
"Yeah, Alisteria."
"Ooh, very cool. Okay. Seems she's just she. I'm leaning towards she."
"Yeah."
"Okay. She's got gold scales." "Wait, gold? What draconic essence is she tied to?"
That's the thing. Do I have to be...
You would be related to like one of the dragon types, but there's many.
Probably.
Do you want to know all of them?
Like, for some reason, like, silver is like...
Sure.
Like, you know, coming to me.
Silver. You would have like cold breath.
Yeah.
For sure. Or like cold resistance.
Cold resistance, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And white... No, silver scales. Silver scales. Yeah. Yeah, nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Pretty. My family's really into silver. We're not gold people, so I dig it.
Hey.
And what are we thinking for race? I haven't really landed...
That's what I was, like, getting into.
Really landing like, on anything.
Let's go to the...
She's feminine.
We give ourselves...
She's dramatic.
Oh my gosh, yes. She is so dramatic. I'm a star.
Oh!
There are the dragonborn, but maybe not. Maybe she just has ties.
Yeah.
Too.
I'm honestly leaning
Goliath.
Oh yeah. Yo, that'd be really funny.
That'd be so funny. She's like this, you know, well, Goliath, like this big being, you know, and then she's just still so lost. She's just a juxtaposition of her own self. And she
didn't you mention being a bulky person earlier?
Being a big muscle.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So a Goliath.
Yeah, a Goliath.
Silver. Draconic bloodline sorceress named
Halastaria.
Ooh, hot. what is her hair like?
So pixie cut, I think, is where I'm leaning. Or maybe like pixie cut with like half of a shaved side.
One shaved side?
Yeah, just one. So
cool.
It's back. Love it. Back in the day, good old Rain here. Mm-hmm. Before I joined the military, actually, I had zero gauged ears. So I had stretched ears. I had, you know, I had all colors of the rainbow dyed on my hair. I had purple, electric blue, green, you know, so.
Nice.
You know, I imagine her to just be like this, just dejected from her society, kind of like lost person. And, you know, that is a little molded into like her fashion. And like how she carries herself, like, yeah, she's confident. She's a Goliath. She's big and she's bulky and she can fucking carry shit. You know? Oh, yes, sir. Let me help you across the street by carrying you on my shoulder. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Death by snooze noon. Oh, God. Sorry. Anyway.
And so, yeah. So maybe just one side, you know, maybe stretched ears.
It's cool. Yeah. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Goliath.
Okay, so her like role is to understand and control her powers.
Yeah.
Very sick. Very cool. And she met Fizban.
Got all Fizban.
Love that little improv we did.
It was great.
Okay, I think maybe I'll roll.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
And then we'll see where we're at. Okay, here we go. Six. Homebrew Haven.
Homebrew Haven. This is great.
Oh my goodness, I wish I could find...
You can put your mic down and find it.
Okay, pause. Okay, so I have one of my earliest homebrew creations. And funny enough, I don't think I've ever had anyone go here, but it was when I first
on this one
started making, huh?
On this homebrew.
Yes, this homebrew I'm about to share on ours on this section. This encounter section. This encounter of Homebrew Haven. This place is known as the Treetop Tavern. It was set in a place in my brain that is a tinker, gnome, and wood elf-based community that lives Ewok style in a forest of redwoods.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so fun.
So it was like a bunch of ringed structures around these large redwoods and then bridges connecting them. And so there was this, truly the first thing. I've been DMing for, like, 5+ years now. So when I first created my world, I was sort of doing the classic thing of making what I thought would fill a world. And so this is the first one I ever made. The Treetop Tavern, owned by Daryl, a very perky, carefree... halfling. Yeah, right. Yes. Halfling man. He stays sober to watch over his patrons.
Oh,
and
so
will
sweet.
Lend a hand for strangers. So he was sort of meant to be who you meet and talk to as the adventurers come in. His wife is the singer and in her own band, local to the tavern. So the bard of the local tavern is the wife, and she has like an orc drummer.
Oh, that's so fun.
And
A traveling band? Like they go
they're just
residential? In the tavern. Yeah, a residential band.
What's yeah.
Yeah, like a permanent band.
What do people do in Vegas? Residency. Yeah. A residency. No, yeah, she's the wife of the bar owner. So
Lifetime residency.
Lifetime residency. It's got 10 rooms, 5 silver a night, so it's more than your average, like, it's nicer.
Yeah.
Best part, the daughter of Daryl is the cook and is a master chef. And they are forest gnomes.
Mm-hmm.
Not forest gnomes. Lightfoot halflings. And so the master chef also has... her own ratatouille moment in the kitchen. So she has a bunch of furry friends as assistants. She has, I have several. Toppings go to Topper the Otter. He does garnish and soups. Fred the Ferret cooks meats. George the Gerbil. As you can see, I like alliteration.
Yeah.
My first creation. George the Gerbil is the baker. Mo the mongoose is the muscle of the kitchen.
Yeah.
So he like carries all the things around. And if anything like comes into the kitchen, he's the muscle.
Guy. Yeah.
Keeps out intruders and cleans.
Oh, so he's security.
Yeah, he's security. He's the muscle.
The mongoose?
Mo the mongoose.
Oh, yeah.
Think of the size of a mongoose, but buff arms.
Oh, man. No, I'm not even messing with that guy.
No, you're not. You're going to walk into the kitchen, immediately turn around.
Yep.
If you see him. But they offer baked goods, meats, and soup. And they would have the quest that it would be connected to specifically was... they live in the Twin Branches. That's the area. And
so very woodsy forward, like
yeah, it's
a little bit of like a cozy campaign is how I see this a little.
The first little area I made had a world tree. I don't know if I named it anything. I think I did. I named it the Mother Tree.
Mm.
But it was in a place called the Emerald Reach. And in my head, it was like a world tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it sat at a center of a massive, massive valley.
So like Yggdrasil?
Yes, but it was kind of like a weeping willow.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, so everything...
It was sort of shorter, but wider. And the branches would go up and then... come down and have these hanging branches. But at the ends of these, similar to Avatar, at the ends of each of these branches, there's like an amber sack that can grow from like a dewdrop. And then it gets, bigger. Once it becomes, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And once they're big enough, they fall from the tree and they hold animals. And so a tiger will pop out, or a lion. And so this is like it's sort of like this crazy natural phenomena. And the center of the tree, it's the tree is so big, by the way, it's like a mile thick.
Yeah.
It's like a world tree. It's like a mile thick tree, and the branches stretch miles and miles, and they cover vast areas, but they're... because of the willow and because of how thin the branches are, they're thick like pillars, but they're not so dense that they would like block the sunlight from the area below them. So, but these large sacks of amber will land, and then these animals will like venture off into their biomes. And so this tree,
so it's already like it's like innate, so they already know where they're supposed to go because they were kind of given that instinct.
They also
from the mother tree?
Yes, they also spawn. The mother tree is kind of at the center of a pie of biomes. So like a little pie section will be desert, and then next to that it'll be...
This is crazy.
The tree influences the area very heavily in the magic. So it's not like the northern hemisphere is cold. It's like there's a slice in the northern hemisphere that is cold, and then next to it it starts to get warmer, and then by the bottom of it it's like the northern desert. South, but it's way more, it's like a pie with this very tree at the center. And so on the side of the winter area, you know, polar bears and the like will spawn and oh, wow. other things. And so there's a big druid population out there that watch the tree.
Yeah.
And so the quest would be about, when we go back to the Treetop Tavern, would be about Daryl's brother.
What happened to Daryl's brother?
Daryl's brother is Randall and the twin to Daryl, but he is unconfident and very unlucky, finds the wrong trouble, very unlucky.
Oh, so just in the wrong, like, mix in the wrong crowd yes. kind of situation. And so never really, like, found his way out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And currently owes the bandits.
Oh, God.
Down below.
Are they raccoons?
No.
Oh, shit.
They're just regular bandits.
No.
okay. But to save, but they are holding a young tree nymph hostage
Ooh.
That Daryl is sweet on. Yeah. And so, Randall, Daryl's brother, yeah. his twin brother. So Daryl will sort of give you an idea that his brother needs some help, and then you mm-hmm. can go talk to him about mm-hmm. dealing with the bandits and mm-hmm. maybe save the tree nymph, do a solid for the Daryl family
yeah.
and all that jazz, and get you for early level, you know, first level stuff. So
yeah,
that was Homebrew Haven. That was one of my first little Woo. Homebrew moments, and I liked it. Ratatouille is one of my favorite fun. movies, so I wanted the
you wanted the kitchen really full of animals.
It was really based off the chef funny. Daughter being Ratatouille, but like more than just rats.
So when you're thinking about these kind of like homebrew, so I have never, like, I think I've already said this before, I have never DM'd or thought about, you know, creating a homebrew or mm-hmm. creating a campaign for people to play in our world, because you have to build the world before you can have people play in it. Is
kinda
right, or like, you know, you got the first steps, maybe you got a couple of things, and you can just kind of like build it out as, you know, as it is, right, from their experiences and stuff like that, and maybe things will just come out of it naturally.
Sure,
right?
Or maybe they don't, and maybe you accidentally name the town you were wanting them to be in for less than 5 seconds to go to the actual place, and they were like, what's the name of this town?
Scaledale.
Even worse. England. Just like that. With that inflection. Like, I couldn't think of anything.
When was this?
This was, like, 2018.
That's so funny.
Rough.
England.
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 And it was so rough. They squeezed me like a freaking lemon. The dude immediately was like, where do I get magical items? I was like, who do I talk to? And I was like, nobody. You're supposed to go to the next place. And literally got me for everything that I could.
Yeah.
Improv-wise.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, truly squeezed me for everything that I could.
Yeah, it's hard to just, like,
it was
be
one of my
on
first times
about it, right?
Yeah. First time, one of my first times DMing.
See, that's the one thing that I'm a little bit afraid of when it comes. There's a lot of pressure because, like, you have, like, based on how big you want your group to be, you are dealing with 4 to 5 different personalities. And, you know, for me, you know, as a sort of chameleon in society, mm-hmm. I tend to, you know, gauge people's characters, the reactions. You know, I think it's such a innate thing for me that I don't even realize that I'm doing it. So, sure. Like, I'm, like, testing the waters. Right, and be like, oh, okay, so you're this kind of person, and this is how I will react towards you.
Sure.
But when it comes to, like, D&D, I feel it's, like, a little bit, because, like, you have to play all these different characters, and so they can't all act the same. And no. Unless you have people already, like, you know, set up, I don't even know how that improv is going to be if you're trying to create this, you know, pop up literal out of the ground magic shop with a magic owner, like a store owner. It's hard.
No, it's a lot. Think about, you, like, need to be that. You need to have some improvisational
skill
not even necessarily skill. You just need to be have the brain that thinks of things. I think you've maybe tried to ask me in different ways, but to answer the question of like, how do I do it, is it just comes to, at least for me, it not in the sense that like, oh, it just comes to me, but it's like in the game.
So you've been doing it for a very long time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I mean, at this point, yes, I am just doing it, and it is sort of a muscle thing for me at this point because I've done it for so long. But when I'm lost, or even when right when it was in the beginning, the main rule is that you're supposed to have fun.
Yeah.
So my main rule at the table is, are my players having fun, and is what I'm doing making it fun? So as long as that's happening, we're cool. And but in terms of like coming up with the content itself, I think, at least for myself, I think a lot of it comes subconsciously just based off the media I consume.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could easily see in my content or in my DMing like influences from different medias. Star Wars, Critical Role, Dimension 20,
speaking of Mario, Critical Role, like, you know, I had just restarted watching Campaign 3 just because I got a little lost in the sauce, and I was just like, you know what, just gonna rewatch. It's just, what, 120 some odd episodes?
Yeah.
I have watched from season 1 to about season 9 now of Law and Order in the last month. So I'm pretty sure that
I
can get through.
You could get through friggin' season 3.
Yeah.
It's done now, too.
Oh, well, yeah. So I can just binge everything.
I get that season 3 is hard in the beginning. Or it's hard in the middle, really.
No,
the beginning,
I just got lost in the sauce a little bit. I was just like, and then like life happened, and I was like, you know, I'm going to restart.
That's fair.
And just like, you know.
Also, when those episodes are coming everything. Out while you're getting lost in the sauce during the week, so you're just like,
I was like,
it's
no,
too much to dedicate
no,
my brain
right
to
now.
Right now.
Yeah.
And it's not so interesting that like my brain is easily tracking it. At least in the beginning, it wasn't hard. The back half of this campaign has been crazy.
Oh, no. Okay. Spoilers. But I was
great stuff.
I was going to say, like, Matt Mercer is very particular. I wouldn't say particular, but like, he's very crafty when it comes to like people being like, well, what about this? And just like, this guy, and this is how he acts, and this is what he does. And
no,
he's like,
I take a lot of
very
like,
quick witted about it. And
I take a lot of how my NPCs react based off him.
Yeah. You know, just to be smart, and I, you know, this was the first, like, my first impression of you, right, when we met a year ago, was like, man, this guy's really freaking smart about D&D, and I wish I had some skill in that sense with D&D, because I've known about D&D for maybe about 4 years now, but I've only really, like, consistently played for the last year.
Yeah.
And being somebody who loves fantasy and storytelling and world building, and, you know, being able to kind of like nitpick on, and funnily enough, you said this at lunch today or at dinner today, you're just like, okay, sociology major. Well, that's the thing. Like, I just love learning about society and culture.
No, totally. Me too.
And, you know, D&D is such a sub society and culture universe that, you know, it begs the question of how much of this is coming from real experiences, which, yeah,
oh,
of course,
100%,
but also
so much.
How much of it is also just the pure creative
juices,
forethought and mindset that a person has to do that.
Sure.
And I totally 100% like tip my hat to you and say like, bro,
I'm copying really hardcore.
I have never met or just been in a game where somebody's very thoughtful about the things that you do while you're DMing.
Okay. Thank you. Yes. I really care about like continuity and making things make sense in my
In an effective way, too.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I try. Sometimes it's like magic. You're why? Because magic.
Because magic, and I don't want to think about it right now.
So, you know, I try. My main rules is I'm not even a DM. I'm like a calculator, at least in the way that I view, you know, cause and effect. Because I'm not there to mess over your characters or make them lose or die.
No, you're to help.
Honestly, just to decipher continual. What the dice say.
Yeah, and also to like kind of like usher your players through the campaign by their decisions and their thought process and the way they're trying to, you know, manage this world that you built.
Exactly.
You know, and if it's like, well, I don't know because I didn't do anything with that or didn't even think of that, or I have this in my back pocket, I have this in my back pocket, and this is what we're going to do, right? So it can go either way, and it's great. And so, yeah. DD's fucking...
DD's fun.
Great.
I like the complexity. My main thing I like about it is, like, when things are dramatic. I like when things line up in, like, very...
provoking ways.
Yeah.
Emotional
ways. Emotional or serendipitous ways. You know, hanging out with your friends, making jokes, and honestly saying the things you want to say in our real lives
that we shouldn't say. Bravery to say.
Like right now, I'm really into thinking about barbarians, and I think it's because there's an underlying anger within me that I've been called out about recently in the last few conversations with my family. And so it doesn't come out around other people, but like I said earlier in this podcast, around family, they can push your buttons and your bandwidth's a bit lower, or your fuses are a bit lower just because they can burn through it quicker. So... Yeah. I have this like underlying anger as of late that I've been trying to
It's a great outlet.
It's a great outlet. When you can take all your anger out that you would much rather take out on the real people in your life, and you can do it to a monster.
An NPC or a monster.
Yeah. 100%. Candoras, I'm coming for you.
Oh no. No.
But yeah,
I really want to play this Goliath Super Saiyan right now. Totally.
I love her.
I know. I do.
Wonderful. Well, any closing remarks? I know you had some things on your mind.
We were going to kind of briefly talk about the expectations of this podcast. When we initially recorded the first iteration of this, we didn't know where we were, you know, seeing this podcast, you know, to be in the future, but...
It was a rough draft. It was truly our first time.
Yeah.
I'm talking over her the whole time. Both of our audios are on the same...
Track line.
It was just our first time.
Yeah. But, this is going to be a place where we will talk about the nitty-gritty of D&D and, you know, talk about our perspectives. How we both look at it, you know, as... Let's say the meta game.
Sure.
Right? This is where we can be as players. Meta.
Yeah, we play weekly. We're
as we can be.
Got our fingers on the pulse of the D&D community.
And now that we have a really great structure on our hands, it'll be much a better flow, and
we'll get some guests.
Yeah, we'll get some guests in.
Some opinions.
Yeah, some differing opinions, you know, as much as we
some stories.
Our, you know, differing opinions. It's great to have another, you know, third party.
Totally.
But, I see this becoming a great outlet to just be ourselves as well.
Yeah, everyone needs an outlet to express themselves and be themselves, and We put on a lot of masks, and we become a lot of people in the different lives that we lead. You're a mother, a consultant or whatever your job is, the data analysis, you're a D&D player, mm-hmm. you're a friend. You know, there's a lot of...
I'm a student.
You're a student, your brain, you're a lot of things. Yeah. And so having a place to simply talk about all those things, get them out on the
open. In a fun way, too.
In a fun way with your homie.
So,
what more can you ask for?
With that, everybody, I think it's time to say it's great talking with you and rolling some dice, and we will see you next time. And again, this is the Dice Duo with
Kai
and Rain.
Au revoir.
Bye.